Good morning, one and all, and welcome back to the news, or at least our version of it. I'm John Arola. He, it being Friday and all, is Brett Ehrlich. Brett, how's it going?
I'll tell you what, John. I'm a side sleeper. My shoulder, it's just a problem. It's the right shoulder.
Probably at this point, according to Louis C.K., it's just a permanent problem. Your body's just broken now. It doesn't work anymore.
It's just essie now.
It's that. Don't look it up. Don't try to define it. But yeah, no, it's not good. And I'm feeling some of that. It was two nights ago. My right like leg just started to hurt out of the blue. I hadn't done anything to merit it, and then it went away.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Probably doesn't represent any sort of like lingering issue with my bone marrow or anything.
Or you had a ruptured knee patella. And you're Wolverine-like, and it healed.
That's probably what it is. But anyway, look, what I see this as is a reminder that I made a promise to all of you years ago that I, as a person, would decay at the exact same rate as American democracy, and I've maintained that ever since. In any event, we got a lot of news that we're going to be talking about. Not only more fallout from the fact that yesterday was arraignment day. Donald Trump was arraigned. We have, he had to plead guilty, not guilty. Which did he choose? Nobody knows. I know that you all avoid the news until the damage report starts, but we're going to break it down for you. And we've got a lot more besides. We're going to be rolling out a new segment in just a little bit. That's going to be fun. Later on in the aftermath, we're going to be throwing away some garbage people of the week. And I've got a group actually that did something that is increasingly for me one of my major pet peeves. It needs to stop. And we're going to try to push towards that. Also, the water out there is too damn hot. We're gonna give you all the details and more. So in advance of that, hit the like button, share the stream so people know we're live, and you can send us comments, tweets, super chats. We'll respond. Maybe Brett will make fun of you. Maybe you'll get a $100 Blue Apron gift card. There's a lot of fun options. And with all that said, Brett, are you ready to start this thing?
Let's get her done. You know what I mean? Let's get this is a new catchphrase of mine. Get our done.
That's good. I like that. Did AI come up with that or did you?
I came up with that.
Okay, well, let's jump into it.
This is a very sad day for America. And it was also very sad driving through Washington, D.C. and seeing the filth and the decay and all of the broken buildings and walls and the graffiti. This is not the place that I left.
Well, I mean, it was a while ago. You were there before. I mean, that's literally the place. Is he sundowning? What is going on with him? Is he not sure? Oh, maybe he's being metaphoric. It is, after all, a sort of different city than it was, you know, when he left. When he left, we were in the immediate aftermath of his failed coup attempt, his attempt to, you know, defy the will of the voters. I guess to that extent, we have changed a little bit. But anyway, he's angry. He's complaining. He's also lying, by the way. Lots of reporters have said that the route from the airport to his arraignment does not go through rough neighborhoods or anything. What is he talking about? But he was angry, and he was angry because he had been arraigned. He had pled not guilty, probably the good choice, drags it out a little bit. And you know, he wanted to put forward a strong, like defiant front. But that said, there were a couple of things that bothered him. So he went on to Truth Social to bleat in full caps more about how filthy, dirty, falling apart it is. I think he's the sort of person where, like, when he's in a bad mood, he just externalizes that. But that's not how reality works. But anyway, that's not what made him most mad. Here is what made him most mad.
I am told that the former president, one thing that irked him particularly was during that hearing today that lasted about 27 minutes, was when the magistrate judge referred to him as simply Mr. Trump. That may not sound odd to anyone else, but he is still referred to by his former title, President Trump, when he's at his Bedminster Golf Club in New Jersey, as he is tonight, or at Mar-a-Lago.
It's such a small, petty thing for him to be annoyed by, Brett, but it's like, it's the perfect thing. This is a guy who would definitely be infuriated by that, that a judge would dare to say that to him after making him wait like 15 minutes. The judge wasn't waiting for him. He had to wait for the judge. That's the exact sort of stuff that would make a petty, broken little man like him squirm.
Yes, like he never liked the system. He never liked any system. And coincidentally, A lot of people like that about him. But the reason he doesn't like the system is because occasionally the system doesn't give him special treatment. That's what's happening right now. He is not getting special treatment. He's getting the indictments that usually would fall on people that are his underlings. But because he so brazenly defies the good thing about the system, that a lot of people who don't like the bad things about the system think that he's championing them. But no, he's only championing himself. And that's like this weird cognitive dissonance that I can't really get people to address. But you know, they've chosen their champion and they'll rally around him. And a lot of people are so hilariously also going apoplectic that it's been quite a nice little week.
Yeah, you know what? Like, I'm generally, this is the sort of thing that I would make a case for like newsworthiness or something, but I'm not gonna do that today. It just feels good. I've had a rough week too. Can I have fun, America?
Well, no, it's funny. I don't know if you have you seen The Big Short?
Yes.
So in The Big Short, Brad Pitt is like there with the little guys that he helped make a bunch of money, and those guys like high five each other at the fact that they were right, that the entire like economy was gonna implode, and they start dancing, and Brad Pitt goes, "Don't dance. Just don't dance." Like people are gonna lose their jobs, people are gonna lose their homes. In this situation, like yesterday, I felt like really bad that everybody was so excited, because like this is horrible. It is so horrible that the president of the United States went to this level. Like, and all the people that are Trump supporters that are like, what about Hillary Clinton? What about the DNC? They were doing the normal thing.
We're gonna get to that. Don't worry about that. Don't try to move me on from my Schadenfreude. I want to experience more of it. So let's do that.
Next time I won't read the links you send then.
Let's go to this video and then we'll talk.
He was definitely pissed off. And he was also kind of raging on the plane, I was told, as he was watching the news coverage of this come in. And so even though publicly he still wants to sound defiant, you'll hear him try to use that kind of rhetoric tonight. Privately, he is very angry about this, John.
I love how meta that is, that Donald Trump is in real time getting enraged because he looks bad in the media, and that's being covered by the media, which certainly has to enrage him further. And then wait, then we're talking about that and he could be seeing this, or if not him, Marjorie Greene, and then she texts him or something, and then that could make him even madder. All of you should upload TikToks talking about this video that'll make him even madder. Man, we can really enrage this guy. The only regret I have, Brett, is that all of this stuff that made him so mad, we didn't get to see. We didn't get to see him being called Mr. Trump. We didn't get to see any of that, but we might eventually be able to see some of it, because House Democrats are pushing for the trial to be televised. And I have no doubt that Donald Trump is behind the scenes gonna stop that from happening or try to. But in theory, shouldn't everyone want this to be televised? Like, if you believe that Donald Trump is guilty, if you think he did terrible things, then you should want the country to see the evidence against him. And if you believe that Trump is innocent, don't you want to see this big alpha male Rambo guy talk about how the election was stolen and prove it? They have this fantasy that that's going to happen. What do you think about the possibility that it could be on TV?
I'm very moody about it. Like, I can, or mercurial, my opinion changes.
It's Mercutio.
I'm Mercutio. Oh God. Oh, I'm Queen Mab. Whatever. Don't do that, John. It's bad.
Continue.
My wife will continue to think of me as a total dork face. Anyway, so in this situation, do I want it televised? Do I not? Like, part of me absolutely wants to watch him unravel. Part of me, part of every American loves watching a good old fashioned like court TV drama that's based in real life. We love true crime. We love all the moments. We love that there's people that watch and curate and send us like the most juicy little bits. But for the sake of America, I don't want it televised. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to see it. I mean, yes, it would benefit me financially if they televised this entire trial. But it would be so horrible for America if you could see, and so good for like people like DeSantis if you could just see Trump in a courtroom sitting there being talked to by people who are ratting on him actively. It'd be so bad. And it would also be more free press for him. I don't think I want it.
You make some okay points.
Whatever, I'm a better person than you, John.
Nobody doubts that, but that's not what we're debating today. So we'll have to see what happens. But anyway, that's the basic thing for now. We're gonna have to wait for the next big steps in this. There will certainly be leaks. There could be superseding indictments. There could be revelations of co-conspirators flipping on him. There's a lot of room for dramatic reveals in this. And bear in mind, Jack Smith has given every indication that he wants to expedite this thing. The judge apparently seems okay with that. Like historically, seems like the sort of judge that would be okay with that. Thus far, the case is not that complex. It's so far only charging one man. So you probably won't have to wait too long unless Trump's team is able to successfully intercede. But this time they don't have Eileen Cannon protecting their interests, so maybe it won't work. Anyway, with that said, I want to turn to people outside of Donald Trump, the variety of legal advisors and politicians and media pundits all trying to control this narrative. They're doing a little bit of flailing and trying to come up with a good defense or at least distraction for Trump. Let's run through a few, starting with Alina Haba.
Everybody was made aware that he lost the election, but that doesn't mean that that was the only advice he was given. If anybody understands what happens in the Oval Office, there are a numerous amount of advisors and politicians and lawyers, not just one or two, that are giving you advice and telling you what they believe is true.
That tiny little clip of Alina Haba, technically a lawyer, I think, for Trump is amazing for like three different reasons. The first reason is what everyone's focusing on, which is she's admitting that Donald Trump was told by a number of people, high ranking Republicans that for some reason are respected, that he'd lost the election. So he cannot simply claim that no one brought that up to him or whatever. That to me is like maybe the least interesting part of the clip, even though that's what people are focusing on. And we can talk about that. The second thing though is, but that's not the only advice he was given. You know, that's what we're saying. He was told he lost, but he was given advice on how to not lose anyway. That's sort of the genesis of this entire criminal conspiracy, or all three or four of these criminal conspiracies. I'm glad that she understands that. But anyway, and also, of course, you have once again the next step in what seems to be their legal strategy, Brett, of he was just given bad advice. Donald Trump isn't responsible for what he did. He was just given bad advice. And I'll throw one added thing in there, because again, it's chock full of stuff. It demonstrates that they are obsessed with, in a way that seems utterly irrelevant to the trial, with whether he really believed it. He didn't. He's admitted to multiple people that are on record saying that he knows that he lost the election. But you cannot do the things he did, whether you believe it or not. And they're very clear in the indictment, which as to this point, Brett, none of them appear to have read. But what do you make of all that?
I think she just misspoke. Like, she had to have misspoke. And I just think she's bad at this. Is that weird to say? Like, he was told he lost the election, but that was not the only advice he was given. Being told you lost the election isn't advice, it's information.
Yeah, that's true.
And so what she said as advice, that was not the only information he was given, is probably what she meant to say. But this whole thing just completely sweeps past what's actually happening in that office. And we all know what's happening in that office is there's the people who are like, I'm here so this entire country slash world doesn't go off the rails. My only skill is convincing Trump that I'm on his side. And slowly, you know, secretly keeping the world on its rails. That's what they think is the deep state, but I think it's just like normal human beings being like, this guy's crazy. But then there's other people in that room that are like, you know that fantasy world you want, Donald? You can have it because I'm just a person in this room giving you advice slash information. And I will conveniently say, you know, a lot of people are saying you won and it's all rigged, like you've been saying. Actually, I'm just giving you back to you, and you're so narcissistic that you love every bit of this.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. And what's horrible about their argument is that after 4 years of presidenting, my guy is so still stupid about presidenting. He's been in charge of America, but he doesn't know how it was designed to work. This thing that he wants to make great again, you can't make it greater againer than the way the founders set up this process. Like, that is how it was from the beginning. And their argument is Donald Trump, he's, you know, if I had a job for 4 years and I still didn't know how it worked, I should be fired.
I think that you've done a pretty good job of avoiding people at TYT figuring that out up until this point.
John, which is your skill. So happy that just,
anyway,
I didn't even understand that because I'm so good at everything.
I know, you're great. But no, you're totally right, including about their skill set and why they're selected. Alina Habba, you know, I think she, you could fact check this. I think that she did real estate law or something. Like, but she's just, it's again, it's about loyalty. It's who is willing to come out and say things that they definitely don't believe as a sign of loyalty to the boss. That's it.
Also, he casted her, let's be honest. He casted her as his lawyer. He didn't.
Central casting.
Yeah.
As he always says. Okay, so with that, I want to turn to another of the arguments they're using to distract people from like just taking a look at the indictment and talking about what he's actually being charged with. Let's jump into Kevin McCarthy.
From the leadership on down about George Bush not winning, that Al Gore did. But were any of them prosecuted? Were any of them put in jail? When Hillary Clinton said it, nothing happened to her. When they said it in Georgia's election, nothing happened to them either. You know what? When the DNC said it, nothing happened to them.
You know, I'm not obviously a fan of Kevin McCarthy, but I got to give it to him. It is weird that Donald Trump is being punished so much for what he did. And yet, as we all remember, Hillary Clinton, who did this, suffered no consequences whatsoever. We act as if Hillary Clinton's attempted coup in January 2017 never happened. And I think it's super weird. And I think it's time the Democrats actually take some accountability. Anyway, obviously, not like, whether you think they whined or complained or whatever, Hillary Clinton or the DNC or someone in 2004 because of George W. Bush, what they did not do is begin a criminal conspiracy to overturn the results of the election. There were no fake slates of electors. There were no coups. There were no weird phone calls to secretaries of state to get them to find votes. There was none of this stuff. There was no pressure on Al Gore to make sure that the election didn't actually get certified. What they thought, what they said is fine. I mean, not morally or ethically, I might have a problem with it, but legally it's fine. In the same way that it's fine for Trump, as the indictment makes clear in literally the first two pages, that is not what he is being charged with. And Kevin McCarthy on some level must know that. He knows that this is not a legal argument that they are making because they are totally talking past the indictment. This is a PR argument that they're making. They're attempting to give their base something to run with to distract them from what's really going on in the indictment. Brett, what do you think?
It's so stupid. Like Kevin McCarthy, I am baffled by who the Republicans choose as their leaders. But it makes sense if Trump is their leader, right? If Trump is your leader, then no one else can have any gravitas. He can't hire A people. They say A people hire A people, B people hire C people, you know? And so he has a bunch of C boys just sitting out there trying to cover for him. Kevin McCarthy just is so low energy and such like, you know, a like melted chapstick. Like he's disgusting.
And
they're out there just giving these ridiculous bad arguments that are like, you know, Hillary Clinton was upset. Like Hillary Clinton being upset, as John said, is not tantamount to doing what Trump did, which is like submitting an alternate slate of electors. Like, you know, Al Gore, Hillary Clinton, they all conceded, dude. They all did it. And Donald Trump is still like, if there are five stages of grief and he's been in denial for freaking 3 years, then we can only hope that he can reach acceptance on this schedule by 2038.
Yeah, and you know what? Just I'm only gonna mention this because we mentioned Al Gore and you mentioned Al Gore. Like, we're still dealing with the fallout from their attempt to steal the 2020 election. We're worried about the possibility that they'll try to steal the 2024 election. And they're enraged at us because we are mad that they tried to do it already. Nobody seems to acknowledge that we gave them one free in 2000. They successfully stole the election. They got that. They got the Bush tax cuts and they got the Iraq war and they got the horrific response to Hurricane Katrina and they got all that stuff that they desperately wanted off of an election that was actually stolen and nothing was done about it in 2000. And they just are still hungry for more. They have such entitlement to being able to avoid the consequences of their candidates not being as popular as the Democrats.
Yeah.
But anyway,
even though the structure of the election itself allows for them to not be as popular as the Democrats and still win when you look at the scoreboard at the end of the day.
In 2016, yeah, they do not have to actually be more popular. And again, so free win in 2000 that they actually lost, the ability to win repeatedly without winning the popular vote, none of it is good enough for them. There is no level to which democracy should bow down to their hunger. More insane claims being thrown out. The right is really just throwing out whatever they can to take up time at this point. So Jesse Waters, obviously not the smartest person on the right, he's gonna do his best. He said about the plot to submit slates of fake electors, it's not a big deal. Which is really, if I was a lawyer, that's what I would say to the judge. Anyway, he says he has every legal right to do that. No, he doesn't. What are you talking about? Like, the defense here should be, no, he didn't try to do that. He wasn't involved. That was John Eastman. That's your attempted defense. No, you don't get to just lie. It is literally fraud to sign a document under false pretenses that you're an elector when you're not. Like, he is seemingly like taking a look over the entire battlefield, and he has chosen literally the worst ground to stake his last stand on. And then it gets potentially even worse because they're under the gun, they're under pressure. So what do they do on the right when they're under pressure? They threaten mass murder. So you have Fox's Mark Levin saying the latest Trump indictment is like the Dred Scott decision. Dear God. I think if anyone gets to compare something to Dred Scott, it's probably Mark Levin. Anyway, it says which served as the foundation for the Civil War. I say it in order that we might avoid the potential of what could happen. A combustible situation, because this can't go on forever. I don't want Democrats to be gunned down by right-wing whack jobs. I don't want it at all. That's why I'm saying this. And that's why I'm immediately going to the possibility of civil war, which of course in this case, we'd be the ones to start. Dennis Prager also says they are prepared to ruin this country and come to the brink of a civil war. Because they hate Donald Trump. No, you guys are willing to come to the brink of a civil war because you can't accept that people don't like Trump and he lost in 2000. But this is what happens. America is always plagued by these broken down, shriveled up husks of half men. Men, the second they want politically, run to someone else should kill people for me. Mark Levin and Dennis Prager aren't gonna be charging like the barricades. They're not the ones that are gonna be like toting AR-15s. They're gonna be pointing at some 19-year-old incel that unfortunately listens to them and say, go kill a bunch of people. That'll surely save the Republic. Bro, what do you think?
My favorite one is Jesse Waters, who said essentially there's nothing wrong with submitting this slate of electors. Because the person who received them just tore it up and threw it away. It's like, bro. That's like saying there's nothing wrong with trying to kill someone if you don't succeed. Like, oh, but you realize, Jesse, that if he did succeed, we would have a no America anymore, and you wouldn't have a system left to prosecute him for. Yeah. That is all bad, but that's not the goal for them. And everybody has this. This is like the fascinating American instinct. It's to say and I think it's human. I think it's, like, the world is screwed. I like saying that. Institutions suck. I like saying that. But you do like them. You like having the stability. You like the way most of them work. But you like the generic idea of saying that. And so you take what you're upset with at the time and say that that institution is screwed. And it might be, but a lot of people don't really fairly adjudicate what part of it fails. What they do instead is just say, I want to feel good by saying the system is against me, whether it actually is or not, or whether you are the person the system is designed to stop and that it has a just cause for doing so. And we should have a system that stops Trump from saying, I don't care what the people voted for, I'm president.
Yeah. I'll only add to your point about Jesse Waters about the like, all of these things of like, but it didn't work, thus it's not a crime. Like, no, that's not how literally, that's not how any of this works. Again, like as I was saying on the pre-show, like their argument, and again, they're all saying like, he has free speech, he can say whatever he wants, which again, that's not what he's being charged for. But isn't it weird, haven't they been talking a lot about phone calls that Hunter Biden and Joe Biden have made? Isn't that free speech? Isn't that First Amendment in that case? So is that a perfect defense against any charge or not?
There's, anyway, yeah, last thing I'll say is there's this concept of Rawlsian justice. It is design a system from behind the veil of ignorance. Basically, you design the system, yes, not regarding how it would affect you if you were just like thrust at some random point in that system. And it's just such a great framework for how to design a society, because yeah, your own personal interests are not factored in. So I think everybody yeah should at least as an exercise take what their opinions are and see if it's just you know, benefiting you in an unfair way.
Well, then I don't understand what you're mad about, because it seems like the right is definitely trying to set up a system from behind the veil of ignorance. Anyway, with that's a philosophy joke.
Philosophy major jokes, bro.
Anyway,
cigarette break.
We're going way over. Ashley probably hates my guts, but we need to talk about one more thing really fast. Let's jump into this video.
I really know what I'm doing, and to be described as what did Pence say? Oh, I don't think he's ever been in a courtroom, and he went to a law school. Nobody even knows. I mean, that guy. I mean, I thought before this all happened that he was a really good guy, but too weak to be president. I always worried about him following Trump, because I would see him with his wife having something around his neck every night and walking around. She doesn't let him go to the, well, she lets him go to the bathroom by himself. That's about it. But imagine that skunk doing what he did today.
So Rudy Giuliani obviously mad at Mike Pence, somewhat performatively mad at Mike Pence. He wants to reassure Trump that he still has his back, that co-conspirator number one is not going to be running to Jack Smith. But he's also mad at the fact that Mike Pence is criticizing Trump. And along the way, he has to talk about leashes and bathrooms and stuff. And you know, thanks to the other news that came out this week, God only knows why that's on his mind. But in any event, he's very mad at Mike Pence. He's not alone in that. And some of those on the right who are infuriated by Pence's more critical tone that he struck this week want to do more than just mock him and his relationship with mother. If you head over to the Donald, which don't, you'll find a tweet that Mike Pence sent out that has a lot of replies. They're very concerned about this. So Fergizil says, at least Judas had the decency to hang himself, to which Jesus says, there's still time. Okay, so that's at least not them saying let's kill him. That's let's hope that he kills himself, but it moves beyond that. Another guy says, you know, and they're definitely guys, he knows he's not gonna get elected. His only goal is to take away any votes that he possibly can. He got his ticket into the club when he got that challenge coin after they certified the fraudulent election at 1 AM on January 7th. I wanna see his toes dangle in the breeze. Which is not like a beautiful like thing where you're sitting on a dock and your toes are just barely over the surface of the water. This is darker than that. But in case that's too difficult to understand, one person said, I favor the day of the axe. Everyone gets a swing at the abdomen. Stray dogs clean up the mess. Yeah,
someone's been watching Yellow Jackets.
100%, which I just finished the second season, but someone in the FBI might wanna look into that guy with the day of the axe thing. He capitalized that. That's like a concept that already existed in his mind of the day of the axe. That's horrifying, Brett. What do you think?
I love these guys. I think they're really cool. It's just, what do you think about people saying we should just kill the former vice president because he did the thing that should be perfunctory?
Are you pro or con? Are you for or against?
I'm gonna need to hear more before I decide whether this murder thing is good or bad.
Anyway, look, the general issue, of course, is not that a lot of them still wish that they'd killed him successfully. It's that they are really turning against Mike Pence. Mike Pence, who could still be very important in this trial.
I'd say that Giuliani, the thing about Giuliani is he's got like this thing that happens to certain successful people where they got successful by having a lot of ideas and choosing the best one. And they're very good at that. But once you get to a certain level of success, you just are then convinced that every idea you have is amazing. Mm-hmm. So Giuliani's not really workshopping any of his arguments anymore. He goes out there and just talks nonsense with sheer confidence. And that does work on a certain percentage of people who already agree with like you knowing where your bread is buttered and you continuing to butter that side of the bread. But he is making horrible arguments and terrible analogies. Like, yeah. And it's like, I mean, Rudy Giuliani, he remembered that when he was mayor of New York, he started a surveillance state. So that's how he knows whether Pence is going to the bathroom alone. He's got cameras in all his favorite places, bathroom one, bathroom two.
We're gonna take a break and we're gonna check to make sure that we're not being filmed aside from that one. But anyway, there is a lot more to come. When we come back, we're gonna be struggling with a question. Is Ron DeSantis already done? Can we pack this thing up? We'll debate after this. Welcome back, one and all. If you're just joining us now, please hit that like button because we've got a lot to cover as we launch into this. Is Ron DeSantis's campaign for the presidency already dead? Today, we weigh the evidence and reach a final judgment. The Damage Report Court is now in session. That is ridiculous. Nice work by producer Ashley in making that. Anyway, we want to have a little bit of fun and take stock at this point on Ron DeSantis' campaign. Now, I know many of you might be thinking, it's way too early to be talking about whether campaigns are over, but no, that's the reason we need to talk about it. Is it actually too early? So we're going to weigh the evidence here, and then we're each going to vote. And if there's a tie, then Twitch can deal with it. I think producer Mike is putting a poll up on Twitch right now. So Brett, I know that you probably have a gut feeling. I don't know yet if you agree or disagree. I'm gonna jump into some of the evidence. Feel free to weigh in, but keep your final judgment until the close. We're gonna start with the prosecution, the case being made that he is done. Here's the evidence that I was able to put together at this point. So he launched his campaign on March 24th, and I realize it's probably difficult to see, but March 24th is like kind of right in the middle of the high point for that green line. This is all of the polls basically put together. And it is not a good sign for a candidacy when months in, you have kind of only lost ground over time when you needed to gain a lot of ground from the very beginning. And as of right now, like in the big new New York Times poll that came out this week, Trump is at 54, DeSantis is at 17. And that may sound bad to you, but you should know historically how bad it is. In the half century of modern presidential primaries, no candidate who led his or her nearest rival by at least 20 points at this stage has ever lost a party nomination. So Donald Trump has almost twice as much support as it would take for nobody to really historically have had a chance to beat you. So that is an overwhelming advantage. In addition to that, you have sort of what he can do to turn it around. So obviously it's going well, but why isn't it going well? It's not going well for a couple of reasons. Piece of evidence number two, he's terrible at retail politics. He's terrible at going out and giving the speeches. He's terrible at connecting people. He did this event where he tried to get $50 to be able to drink beer with him. You know, that stereotypical thing like, who's the guy I could drink beer with? People didn't want to sign up for $50. So they lowered it to $1. Not even bucks at this point, $1. And like 30 people showed up. That's it. For $1 for a guy who in a year is supposed to be president. Okay, you seem to enjoy that, Pat.
I love it. A beer. I like beer.
I like beer.
Bowling ball Ron. I like beer. God, he's such a faker.
He is a doink. By the way, to give you an idea of how bad it is that you can only get 30 people to do that, you could just do that dollar thing to get the beer and not pay attention to Ron DeSantis and save yourself a bunch of money, and people still didn't want to do it.
It is less than the price of a beer, dude. It's
discount beer.
They're saying that it costs my brain, like if it's a restaurant, $6. It costs my brain $6 of anguish. So now the economics don't make sense anymore.
No, no. The question at this point is how much would they have had to pay people to drink a beer with him?
Yeah, he's bankrupt because people wouldn't drink beer with him.
Yeah, well, I mean, that may not be the reason he's bankrupt, but he is having problems. He's not meeting his fundraising goals. That's our sort of next piece of evidence. He's having to cut staff. They've fired 10 or 20 people or something like that. So that's not good, obviously. Now that could turn around easier than some of the other stuff, but I want to jump now to one of, I think, the strongest pieces of evidence that his campaign could be doomed. The prosecution puts forward that all of the tools, the weapons that hypothetically he had to take down Trump before the race had started, we were thinking about these things. How have they actually worked out for him? So like his ability to focus on anti-wokeness, is that helping him? Like when you poll people who's better placed to fight the woke, they say Trump. And when you ask them, do you want to prioritize fighting the woke? They don't, they want to focus on other things. So that doesn't seem like a particularly strong weapon. His ability to out-cruel Trump, which was actually my advice to him, was to try to do this. I guess I was wrong, because when he attacks the LGBTQ community, he's getting criticized by Republicans for going too hard. He is not Trump, so he can be attacked for the things he does. Trump is immune to any of this. And in terms of electability, one of the strongest weapons he was supposed to have, they're not buying it. They think that Donald Trump would have a better chance against Biden, despite the fact that the polls don't necessarily bear that out, and Trump lost in 2020. And then finally, and I'll just close out the prosecution side with this, we're at this point and the debates haven't even happened yet. And they're probably not gonna go well for him if we, as far as we know about Donald Trump and what happens to Republicans who debate against him. And so what do you think about the prosecution's case, Brett?
Well, John, you had me for a while. I, as the defense of Ron DeSantis, was about to rest my case. But then at the end, he had to say the D word, debates. Now,
okay.
One thing is any politics 101 student knows, debates always, always, always unfailingly tighten the race. Just by virtue of sharing a stage with someone, you get closer in the polls. So that is one of the lifelines that Ron DeSantis has. Ron DeSantis has not stood on the same stage as Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump had not stood on the same stage as all these fellow competitors in the 2016 race. And as soon as he did, he overcame a huge level of adversity and a huge deficit in the polls. So he took the lead. And this is something that happens with Republicans. It's not that people trailing by that much in the polls never regain the senior position, the top poll position. Look back to the Herman Cain years. Herman Cain led the Republicans in the polls. You know, Tim Pawlenty, I'm sure, led the Republicans in the polls. Rick Santorum in the vest, one of them, Rick Santorum wearing the vest. They led in the polls by virtue of the debate. Everybody has a chance when they stand on the stage, especially given, I guarantee you, Ramaswamy's gonna have a Rama groundswell in the poll.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's one lifeline that he has. The second lifeline that he has is all the indictments. It is very possible, this is my second bit of evidence, it is very possible that Donald Trump will get convicted of a crime. It is possible that Donald Trump will spend time behind bars. And if so, if Donald Trump does spend time behind bars, that's what DeSantis is waiting for, to be the decent, reasonable, normal pick and alternative for the Republican Party. What say you?
I think, I think that those are like strong possible outs. And look, I will say on the polling, I think, yes, the debates do tend to have that effect, but Donald Trump is also saying he's not gonna be on the debate stage, which might nullify a little bit of the small chance that he could make Trump look like an idiot on the stage. But also, I don't think that in a primary they've ever tightened this much before. I mean, this is bigger, the lead he has is bigger than the lead Clinton had over Bernie or any of that stuff. On the indictments, I think that it's a possibility. There's a new poll that shows that about half of Republicans would not support Trump if he goes to prison, which is its own indictment of the Republican Party that's only that low. But that does imply that there's some room. But also, I think you make a good point about like Ramaswamy. Like, it could help someone, but is it gonna hurt Trump? Like, if Ramaswamy goes up, is that support coming from Trump or is that support coming from DeSantis?
So all honesty, now that I've made my case and I have, you know, taken myself out of the defense role and into the jury or judge.
Would you like to make your decision? Because this is a corrupt court where we are the prosecution, the defense, but then also the judges.
My gut says that because of the retail politics deficiency and the fact that his central argument is that he's really good at being the deep state, that's his differentiating factor. And the fact that he is just like playing this weird character when he's making all these culture war judgments, and the fact that he has a round head, and we've never had a round head president before, especially not one with a My Buddy Doll haircut, like who talks like that, he's a whiner. It is possible that Trump will not get the nomination due to these legal proceedings making it impossible for him. But I don't then believe that Ron DeSantis is the backup player that they'll call in from the bullpen.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, so you're ruling dead.
I'm ruling dead. You?
Okay. I really was not sure where you would go because you seem to really like disagreeing with me. I will say that I believe that there is a 3% chance for him, which means that yes, I'm telling you there's a chance, but if you're Ron DeSantis, that is not good enough. I was already ready to rule that he was dead, but I conducted one final test. I had an expert on juice come in, and they tested Ron DeSantis, and he doesn't have that juice. He just doesn't have it. It's why it comes through in the retail thing. He does not do it. It's so easy to just attack like elementary school teachers in Florida. But that does not take down other Republicans. He doesn't have the juice. He doesn't have a chance. I rule dead.
I also rule dead. I would say that politics is also an expectations game, and you would expect he would have the juice being from a state that is one of the leading citrus exporters in this country.
Exactly. And it could have been orange juice, which would have been so strong against Trump. Anyway, although we don't need the tiebreaker, let's see. Will the people join the majority or the dissent? Well, a bunch of you voted on Twitch, and 85% say that yes, it is time for Puddin' Ron to snack pack up his presidential bid. So that's strong. We don't have like a sentence or whatever. I think the sentence is to become a laughing stock in the Republican Party going forward and to have no chance even in 2028, but that remains to be seen. The court has spoken. Okay, we are way over, so we're gonna take our second break and we'll be right back. Anyway, with that said, we have looks like no time at all. So hit the like button if you haven't already, and we're gonna launch into this.
Have you seen the coverage on the ocean temperature off the coast of Florida? I mean, it's outrageous.
Oh my gosh.
They literally, the article I read this morning literally used the word boiling. Do they know that's an actual physical occurrence? And when it boils, it's got to be 212 degrees. So pretty sure we're not quite there.
That's in cis temperatures.
Oh, okay.
That's a cis temperature.
No wonder. Okay.
Boiling in the new science is happening right now all over the world.
Wow.
The ocean is boiling to nothing but steam.
Wow.
Unless you're using cisgender technology and cisgender language and the new cis thermometer, then it's totally different.
I think right-wing media can pack it up. That was the most right-wing 2023 clip you'll ever see. They denied the existence of climate change while demonstrating that they can't talk about literally anything without making it about trans people. Anyway, what they're talking about is reports that the ocean has gotten crazy hot. There, they were insisting that they don't find it weird that some record had been set off the coast of Florida. We're not supposed to be worried about that. Well, what about this? The average daily global sea surface temperature beat the previous record, which was 2016, reaching 69.7 degrees Fahrenheit. That's far above the average for this time of year. That's not one spot. That is the average across the surface of the globe's oceans. That's not good. Take a look at this chart and you're gonna see the trend over time. Each of those tiny little lines is a different year. It is going up and up and up and up. And of course, the point of shows like Glenn Beck's is to tell all of their followers who are, you know, right wingers, but many of them don't necessarily have much money. They'll be just as victimized by climate change as anyone. It's to get them to not be worried. As literally they're in a pot and the temperature is being raised, they're being told not to freak out about it, okay? That's what the point of it is. We've got more, Brett, but what do you think about this?
He's a conversation stopper. This is my new war against conversation stoppers. It's like people who are like, oh, you said you were speaking figuratively, but we're going to choose to take you literally so that I can feel dope and stop a conversation. Mm-hmm. People do it all the time.
Fun.
What I, you know, and it's horrible. A lot of people do it. He doesn't want to have the conversation, so he's doing that to kick out. So when someone comes back, like John did, and says, like, actually, was he speaking figuratively? Here's the data. No, they never want to continue that conversation, so they will kick out and they'll move on. But at least they're just uproariously funny, and comedy's alive on the right wing, dude.
Yeah,
good jokes, please.
It was really funny because the cis thing's not normally like that's not about temperature normally, but they made it about it. So it's technically a reference, and I believe that comedy is just about referencing things, right?
Yeah, just ask any frat boy; they think they're telling jokes when they're just quoting like Top Gun.
I think that's pretty funny. Have you ever tried it with Anchorman? It's great. Anyway, by the way, don't. Like pretend that I didn't notice your references to wrestling there with the kicking out. I like that. By the way, the big pay-per-view is tomorrow. You guys can come over. We'll watch it. Let's do it. There'll be Pridge.
No.
Anyway, maybe. With that said, the issue with the oceans isn't just the heat. The heat is actually having a big effect. I mean, it's killing tons of animals, but we'll get to that. For now, we want to focus on the actual waves. Did you know that they can get worse as climate change boils our oceans? Sorry to speak figuratively. Waves and surf along the California coast are getting both bigger and taller because of global warming, according to a study. In fact, winter wave heights along the Golden State have risen by nearly a foot in the last 50 years. And surf of at least 13 feet is becoming more common off the coast as the climate warms. The researchers used 90 years of seismic data to measure past wave heights, creating what they call an unprecedented record of the waves that have pounded California's coast over the past several decades. They found that the average winter wave heights have grown, like I said, foot since 1970. And you can see over time, these swells becoming, the bigger swells becoming more and more common as you get closer to the present day. So I know what Brett is gonna say, like good for the surfers, but it's not necessarily great.
Fine, overall, I'll put my shirt back on. Jesus, John, I had a whole bit going. I had already taken my shirt off, showing rippling abs and dazzling pecs.
I found it too intimidating. I had to be the conversation stopper. I watch a lot of Glenn Beck. I've learned well.
Well, I have nothing. How much time we got left? My whole surf bit got screwed over by Gyrola.
How about let's cut out what I said and let's do the surf bit.
But that's it. I mean, really, like the point is like, yo, it's a small price to pay, like no crop yield, like everybody's losing their houses who lives on the coast. But at least like I can, it's breaking both ways, dude. It's breaking both ways. We got double overheaders, toes to the nose, bros.
I don't even know I haven't watched Point Break in a while, so I don't get that. But anyway,
they're breaking both ways is a Apocalypse Now reference. They're breaking both ways.
Oh.
The break of both ways.
Anyway, Oh, by the way, midwinter temperatures are above 35 degrees Celsius in South America. It's 10 to 20 degrees hotter than it's supposed to be. It's the winter there, for whatever that's worth at this point. Anyway, that's all the story time I think that we have. We have only 1 minute, so I'm gonna respond to a few comments. First of all, a lot of people were asking about why I have a hammer. I have it because Gina, who's awesome, gave me this damage report hammer when she left the company to thank me and Skip and Brandon and Ja'Cory and Bart and Edwin and Craig who worked on the show. This is years ago at that point, but so I've had it to this day, and that's my gavel, I suppose. Anyway, we have a little bit of time. KMC, member for 8 months, says, since we're talking about climate change, don't forget it's No Pants Friday. The Earth will survive, save yourselves. Is it? Does it have to be?
The Earth will survive. The Earth's gonna be fine.
Yeah, will you be fine if the cops find you with no pants?
And there will be things on it. I rewatched Dune, John, and I enjoyed it. I was in the mood, and so I jumped
Dune
on it.
Dune or Doom?
Dune.
We'll talk about. Okay, well, I'm gonna watch Doom, and we'll have to close out the hour. We have more to come in the aftermath. Everybody, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.